Well, good morning, and once again, I want to welcome everyone here, especially those of you that are visiting with us this morning. And I think the award for bringing the most visitors this morning goes to the Thompsons. I understand they have a very large group with them this morning. Before I start the lesson, you know, it happens to me a lot, and I'm not complaining, but when I do like the Lord's Supper, the song leader will, without coordination, lead a song that ties in with what I'm going to present, or doing a Wednesday night invitation, the song leader will also give an invitation or a song that will tie in. And last Sunday, the lessons that Brian and Alan provided, I told both of them, I said, I fit with what I'm going to present next Sunday. And then this morning, I read what Brother Don wrote in our article for the Family Talk, and let me tell you, it fits. So I encourage you, if you haven't already read it, to read it after the lesson this morning. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9 reads this. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. No one is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are misery and ruin. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. It should not be a surprise to us that in Paul's time, the Jewish people considered themselves more special than all others. The Jewish people were at one time more special in that God chose them to be his witnesses to the world. God entrusted them with his laws and predictions for the future. But the revealed truth is that the Jewish people never were, nor are they now, more special in all that humans are imperfect beings and God requires perfection. Paul here ended these debate points by saying that all people are accountable to God, no matter how little or how much knowledge they have about him. These verses, right here, are quoted from the 5th, the 10th, the 14th, the 36th, the 140th Psalms, and Isaiah chapter 59, verses 7 and 8. And I must admit, this passage is dark, and frankly, it's despairing. But look again at the words all, or no one, or not even one, or they and there. The point of these Old Testament quotes is that they were then and they are now still applicable to everyone on earth. I could see some people reading this and saying, well, I'm not that bad. Paul ends this section, which is the first 2.5 chapters of the book of Romans, by saying in effect, look, whether or not you're religious or irreligious, whether you're moral or immoral, you may see yourself as better than someone else, but God doesn't. God sees all individuals as hopelessly sinful and most going down the wrong path, a path that does not lead to righteousness. Some people act out their thoughts more than others, but everyone, with no exception, is hopelessly sinful. And many, in effect, continue to turn their backs to God because deep down, They do not see themselves as sinners, and truthfully, they are living in sin rather than living to please God. However, in looking at this text, I see two interesting words within it. One word at the top of the text and another one at the bottom. And the words are fear and righteous. The question then is, are these words significant? And are they in any way connected with each other? What I desire us to see this morning is that God has made and continues to make an attempt to set us down the right path, a path to righteousness versus the paths of ruin and misery that our text informs us also exists. Additionally, I hope you will see that without God showing us the way, man most likely would never find it. God's word is truth, whether one believes it or not. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he advised his disciples to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. And those things being, of course, food, drink, and clothing. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, teach Christians that the pursuit of righteousness is essential for maturity. In other words, he tells Christians, you have to grow up. And here's what that text says. About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain. And, of course, the hard thing to explain was the priesthood of Jesus. But he says, after this, we have much to say, it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Finding what constitutes righteousness and striving to be righteous should be our number one goal, because it will prove to be rewarded at the end of time. Well, that implies a judgment will be made of each and every one of us. And this is us. What we think, what we believe, what we say or what we don't say, what we do or what we don't do. This is what we will be judged on by God. This is what we are judged on daily, even by other people. Yes, man will add to this list for their judgment of others, like how one looks, by the color of one's skin, or what ethnicity they are. But those are not judgments that God is going to make. His judgment will be based upon his words. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 8 says, "All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them." So our judgment will be based upon what we think, what we say, and what we do against his words, whether or not one believes them or not. His words have and will always have purpose. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 20 says, "So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of righteous." That's the purpose of God's word. In Proverbs 4:18 reads, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day." And Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 read this, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart." Well, here's a question for you. When the Bible speaks of the heart, what does it mean? Is the combination of what we think, what we believe, what we say or don't say, and what we do or don't do, is that the composition of the heart of man? If it isn't, how does one then keep the words and the sayings of the Father? If it isn't, how does one achieve the ability to be attentive to his words? How do we then not let them escape from our sight? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." How does one trust in the Lord if we think, believe, say, or do doesn't conform with his words? The truth is, one cannot trust in the Lord without conformity to his words. God knows best. And that's why he can plead and he can advise such wisdom as what is stated in insightful passages as these in Proverbs. Proverbs 4 and 23. Now I've lost my way here. Proverbs 4 and 23 reads, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." And in chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "Make your ear attentive to wisdom, and incline your heart to understanding." And in Proverbs 2, chapter 10, it says, "For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." And in these verses lies some element of the path that I think leads to righteousness. The path of righteousness that I'm going to take you down this morning is very well stated and depicted in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to share the rest of this lesson by sharing with you what is written there for us to see, what is written there for us to know, and what is written there for us to dwell upon. I tried to keep Proverbs within the first 9 chapters of that book, but I had to stray from those first 9 chapters in order to capture some other Proverbs that led to the thought that I have. And the path that I'm going to take you down begins with the fear of God. There was a time when committed Christians were known as God-fearing people, holding God in awe and reverence. This was and should still be a badge of honor. But somewhere along the way, I feel that we have lost it, or that we are in the course of losing it. Now, today, the idea of fearing God, if thought of at all, seems like a relic from the past. Hopefully, we see that a proper fear of the Lord is the one thing that will bring one, to want to love and worship. And that calls for the need for a knowledge of God. Knowledge of his will, knowledge of his way. But knowledge can only be had if one hears him. And beyond just hearing him, really listening to him. Only then can understanding be achieved. And the result is that learning occurs, which requires the need for engaging discernment, prudence, and common sense throughout one's life. And this all leads up to a key portion of the path, the need for wisdom, godly wisdom, the form of wisdom that makes one righteous in what we think, righteous in what we believe, righteous in what we say, righteous in what we do. But please note that the heart has a key role along this entire path. Without it performing its role of inclining towards understanding and learning and putting into practice what is learned, one will not remain on the path of righteousness. To do so would be impossible. I pray this morning that you will see some new connections between the Old and the New Testaments. I hope you'll also see that the needs of mankind have basically not changed over time since the book of Proverbs was inspirationally penned. And that once again you will see and know how wise and applicable God's counsel and guidance truthfully is. For it's unmatched. It has no comparison with anything that God could or even conceive, or any man could or can conceive. I'm going to begin with reading in chapter 1, verse 2. All that I'm going to share with you is before you, so because you won't be able to keep up with how I've compiled this. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, to receive instruction in righteousness, to receive instruction in justice, to receive instruction in equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Because they hated knowledge and chose not the fear of the Lord. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Hear, for I speak noble things, and from my lips come what is right. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways, But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread or disaster. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing crooked nor twisted in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call insight your intimate friend. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul, but he who keeps understanding will discover good. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand the words of insight. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, so that you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. In the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. I want to conclude with this thought. My friend, if you're sitting here this morning, do you have a fear of God? Are you a man of understanding this morning? And if not, are you willing to hear what God has to say? Are you willing to listen to Him? Are you wanting to learn, to gain sense, to become prudent, capable of discerning good from evil, to put yourself on the path of righteousness? If you are, then look at these verses that are captured from the book of 1 Peter. Chapter 2 and verse 24 says, He Himself, that is Jesus, bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. And in chapter 3, verse 12 reads, For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And in chapter 3, verse 18, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He may bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. My friend, if you are moved this morning, won't you come and place yourself in Christ? Be buried with Him in baptism. Arise to walk anew, to put the old man to death. And until you do that, you cannot get on the path that leads to righteousness. And once you're on that path, together we can walk and we can keep each other on that path that will lead to righteousness and will garner us a substantial, uncomprehensible reward when that time comes at judgment. Won't you please come and stand?